And welcome back to Wisdom and Extra, where we take an authentic look into life's personal journeys, acquired wisdom, and what makes us a little bit extra. My name is Austin, recording from the Blue Gorilla Studio in Jupiter, Florida, and I am joined by my amazingly talented co-host, the insightful, the wisdom-filled, our own coffee pot of extra herself, Joni V.
So today we have two guests. We have a special guest appearance by Chris Gasperi, who is a retired PR person.
She's back.
She's back. Having a chat with us today. And our main guest today is Nora Minichino.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi. Good to see you too.
Nora is the founder and president of Feral PR. She's a 15-year PR expert and advocate for small businesses, specialized in the hospitality industry and the corporate end of the PR world. But her whole entire life, she did witness her parents running their own small business, so she's very comfortable and familiar with the entrepreneur lifestyle.
Correct.
And so during COVID, I think this is how this all started, but there may be a little bit more to the story. She decided to go out on her own and start Feral PR.
That's correct.
So I wanted to have you in today to kind of talk about, you know, what was the pivotal moment to go from corporate to entrepreneurship?
Sure. Well, as in anything, it was a couple-step journey. Mm-hmm. I was with my previous employer for a long period of time, upwards of 8 years, and I really hit a point where I looked around and said, I'm not sure where I want to go here. Mm-hmm. I don't know the next step. And so I started thinking about my future and where I wanted to be. And actually, I was introduced to network marketing. And in network marketing, I was exposed to a group of very strong, independent, entrepreneurial women.
Nice.
And it really, truly influenced me to think outside of the box as opposed to going to find another job and work for someone else. It instilled the confidence in me to step out and say, you know, I have a skill set that's marketable to other people and I can help other people with it. Mm-hmm. And why not give it a shot outside of just staying with one company? I mustered up the courage and walked into my boss's office.
Yeah. It's a big step.
It is a big step.
It's a big step to go from corporate to on your own.
Yes.
For sure. It's not it's not that easy of a transition.
And it took time. I mean, I was in this network marketing business for about 9 months before, but that's where I was exposed to podcasts of entrepreneurial people or people that built a business from the ground up, and which of course reminded me of my family and my parents and what they did. And at that point, you know, I started to build the confidence within me to say, you know, I've built this at this company. Why can't I build something on my own? And I did.
And so your focus seems to be more on the small business.
Correct.
Okay.
again, it comes from my upbringing and watching my parents build a transportation business in a small town, literally from the ground up. They built it from my basement and it became a very successful mid-size enterprise by the time I graduated college. And I saw what it afforded my family, as well as I can say time freedom. It was more flexible freedom. Of course, there were late nights, early mornings, weekends, some work on vacations.
But and you have two small children.
I do.
So having the flexibility is really key.
Exactly. And that honestly was a large motivator for me as well, because my boys are 3 and 5 right now. Mm-hmm. And at the time when I decided to step away from corporate, they were 1.5 and 3. Mm-hmm. And I was seeing the writing on the wall as far as how many sick days I have and how many days I can step away from the office, especially in an environment where working from home was, and this was pre-COVID, but was not
it wasn't
acceptable.
A thing.
It wasn't even allowed.
Right. So, I mean, think about Chris and I, you know, 25 years ago, the thought of working from home, like, wasn't even an option. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't even remotely an option.
Right.
You know,
right.
So
it was a weakness.
Yes.
Having a child or having the intention of maybe having children.
Yeah.
And maybe that was back then as well. But even coming from, and maybe it was a specific company or a specific culture, whatever I left, it was very similar. It was very much of distractions now. Mm-hmm. And
so was it still, would you say it was still like a male-dominated, chauvinistic kind of environment? Like a Mad Men situation?
It was very much controlled by, an industry just, I mean, the industry itself is very male-dominated. Mm-hmm. And in looking at the executive, at the VPs, the president, all of it, they were all men, and it was hard to break through that ceiling. And even with a, you know, director title, I was still getting coffee.
And,
you know,
that makes me sad.
Yeah. And, you know, and part of that was that I wanted to be helpful. Mm-hmm. I wanted to, you know, be the person that, you know, could support. But in addition to that, it was, some of it may have been taken advantage of. But again, being in, it's the environment that you put yourself in. And that complete dichotomy of where I was in the corporate world and where I was in my quote unquote side hustle, it was like, it exposed me to, this is not the only way of life. This is not the thing out there. And like I said, I had been there for 8 years. So, it was, you know, the old shoe, you know, it was comfortable. I knew the ropes, I knew the processes, the ways to do things.
Yeah.
So.
And breaking out on your own is not comfortable.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, it's a leap of faith.
Yeah. But I think that being too comfortable it's boring.
Yeah. It's funny. You get sick of your own self at some point. You know, you got to just.
Right.
Eventually you get sick of the excuses you give yourself and the things that you're doing. It's uncomfortable to be in that spot of monotony and, you know, just dealing with people's stuff that doesn't make you feel good.
Yeah. So how did you approach the businesses during COVID? So I'm sure that they needed, I mean, they really had to pivot. Businesses had to pivot.
Yeah.
So is there one that stands out in particular where you were like, oh my God? I mean, it had to be overnight strategy,
yes.
I'm sure.
Well, of course, I started my business January of 2020. I mean, literally January 1st of 2020. Yeah. So here I am, like this new entrepreneur, like I'm going to take on the world. Yeah. And then all of a sudden,
three months later,
exploded. And then I had to manage being a stay at home mom as well. Mm-hmm. And while, you know, juggling
COVID.
Clients. Exactly. Yeah. And in actuality, the company that I left, I flipped them into a client at that point.
Wow.
So with 8 years of experience, I came to them and said, I'm leaving, I'm starting my own business, and you have the option of being my first client, or I can train somebody to do my job. Okay. And I, in many ways, had a lot of the keys to the castle, and it made sense for me to transition into that position. So being in the hospitality industry in March was a huge low. I mean, it was the world, the world ended.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what.
Yeah.
The hospitality world, especially.
It was.
I think it was even worse than the financial crash of 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everything
for hospitality.
Yes. Yeah. Everything
right.
stopped.
Yeah. I mean, overnight, we laid off over 2,000 employees out of 5,000 nationwide. I mean, it was it was insane. It was a lot. It was a huge, huge transition. And all of the brands went dark. And so there wasn't a lot of need for communication. So I was kind of in this existential, like, what am I doing? Where am I going? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it just so happened I had another client. It was a children's book author. I know, totally random. But I was helping promote her book, and I pitched a virtual learning company that was reviewing children's books. And the owner of that company received my email, and she wrote me back and said, you know, we don't have room for this right now. However, I could really use a PR person. Would you be open to talking?
Yeah.
So I got on the phone with her, and that she is just the company itself. They've done so many amazing things. It's an Emmy award winning, producers. They do such quality children's programming, and it was such a good fit for me because I had their target audience sitting in my house.
So, and you couldn't go anywhere.
Right, right? Exactly.
Like, okay, kids, we're going to work today.
Exactly. And it's so fun to be around comedy. I mean, they're comedy. Yeah. It's uplifting. Wow. It was such a bright spot in such a dark time.
Yeah.
And they, we tripled their business last summer. They did virtual programming for libraries all over the U.S. Wow. And
perfect
it was
timing.
Such
Isn't
a cool
it
thing.
Interesting how, like, one door closes?
I
mean, that's
thinking
like
that. It's serendipity. It's amazing. Yeah.
100%. And it allowed me to give my time and attention to that company as opposed to being consumed by my previous employer.
It was time for you to break away from
them. Exactly. Yes.
Even though you were trying not to.
Exactly.
There was something going on.
It was a security blanket feeling, I think. It was more of like, okay, I'm going to do this, but I need that net under me on the wire. So
that's so funny.
Yeah.
So before you got here, Chris and I, we were actually chit-chatting about, you know, back in the day. And you're probably going to laugh when you hear this, but this is how we clipped press
I can't
articles.
Wait to hear this.
So you had to wait for all of the newspapers to be delivered to your department, and then you had to get the scissors out, and you had to clip.
Literally.
First you had to read the whole newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And you had to look for whatever you were looking for.
You could actually get a copy that had a wrinkle in it. That was a wrinkle over the article that you were looking for.
I'd have to get a new newspaper. I'd have to get another newspaper. And you'd have to clip it out. And then we would glue it onto a piece of paper.
Gosh.
Chris, I think, had a fancier office. You had actually white-out stuff. I don't know what the end of that.
White tape.
Yeah,
the post-it note tape.
And then you had to make copies and make your little summary or whatever and pass it around to all the executives, inter-office mail.
Or like sending a press release where you would have to find the numbers for all of the contacts at every local newspaper, and television station, and
I'm sure it was a nightmare.
We'd take the photograph.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Develop the photos.
Did you guys use a landline?
Barely.
We did. We had fax machines.
Yeah, with fax machine was, you know, that really made our lives a lot easier. We didn't have to drive over to the, you know, newspaper. We could send a fax.
But at times you would. You would drive that press release over.
And nobody really was quite, you know, liking that because they'd still be like, call, make sure they got the fax.
Oh, my gosh.
Are they coming to the event? You know, who's coming to the event? it was like you needed a whole department. I mean,
my gosh.
And, you know, I was telling
Chris.
It's bizarre, right, that was only, you know, 20 years ago. Like, seriously?
I know.
So then we were talking about my daughter has a friend there's a young girl who works on the Hill in D.C., and she has a PR job. She clips 250 press clips by 9 a.m.
Oh, my gosh.
Chris is like, how is she doing it?
But
I'm
not,
like, I
not
know.
With scissors.
No. Not with scissors.
Not with scissors.
This is all, like...
No, those are some sore hands if that's the case.
Like by 9 a.m., like what? Your brain doesn't have anything left. Like,
wow.
Yeah, I don't know how they keep up with it. And we were
Chris is like, well, wait, where do they have to look? Right? How many places? YouTube,
but they
TikTok,
probably have some
services. I mean, yeah, there's media monitoring services, I would assume.
Google.
I mean, I know they're out there, and if she's on the Hill, that most
but
they're
still
something like that.
It's still a process.
Yeah,
and everything's live. Like, what happened at 5 a.m.? Let's get that in the
report. And then it changes 6 minutes after.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes, it's so true.
Oh, I know. We just had to throw that in there because we're like,
I mean,
because we're dinosaurs. But I'm a dinosaur. I'm not speaking for you.
I'll take it.
But even pre-COVID, it was completely different. I mean, we accelerated light years.
That's
just
true.
In a matter of, you know, 18 months.
Yeah.
And, and the way that we receive news and information, it moves so quickly now. So to hear that, to hear
so
even, you know, 20 years ago, just my mind goes to how inefficient that is, you know.
Oh my gosh, we thought we were pretty darn efficient.
Exactly.
We really thought we were the cat's meow, didn't we?
Like the deadline for the press release was, you know, 10 days away. So you knew that in order to get in the newspaper.
You had to be 10 days out. You're right.
I mean,
crazy.
Then the blue line, we had to drive to the printer to actually proof anything that we were, any kind of publications that we were working on. And we went with the whole team, and you had to bring the red pen, and everybody stood around the table, and you each, like, you turned the product, you know, the papers around.
Right.
And we had to learn to read backwards.
Oh,
so first you had to read it going forward. Then you had to read it going backwards.
Oh, my
God. Be there for hours.
Wow.
Did you learn how to read it upside down?
No.
I know how to read upside down.
You probably do.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Do we want to test this?
I don't know.
Yeah,
podcast guest, Nora.
There you go.
But so, Nora, how do you figure out what the next platform is? Like, we were saying TikTok.
Yep.
That would never have struck me as being a PR platform, and clearly it is.
It is very much so.
What's coming down the pike?
I mean,
have a crystal ball.
Do you just watch what the six-year-olds are doing?
Yes,
and you know
pretty much. Exactly.
Well, your kids are really working hard over
yeah,
there.
Exactly. I mean, they're earning their keep.
just watch them
it's
for
time
a
to pay
hours.
The rent, kids.
I told you COVID changed everything.
What
stock should we buy?
Right. Exactly. I think the challenge, or one of the main differences or the changes in PR in general, is the fact that you are not at the mercy, but at the understanding of your audience and consumer satisfaction. So whatever platform is reaching the individual audience in a larger amount, that's where you want to be. I think PR traditionally was very much of what publications you can get in and what media is writing about you. And media has changed significantly. There's a lot more paid media now. There's a lot more hidden agendas. People are a lot more skeptical of the media. So they want to hear more from real life experience. So in my opinion, PR has certainly changed to more of a consumer facing industry, and being able to reach the direct consumer in large amounts. So by whether that's through an influencer, through social media, through personal branding, that's really where And it marries so much. I feel like the lines between marketing and PR and advertising are so blurred these days, because I get a lot of my clients are asking about SEO. I mean, I have no background in SEO, but that is, if you think about it, a very important part of PR, because if you have SEO, you're getting in front of your public.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of collaboration that needs to happen. And personally, you know, PR for me is researching the audience, researching the ideal customer who you want to put your product or service in front of, and then finding out, researching what they're reading. What are they looking at? Are they on TikTok? Are they on Clubhouse? Are they on Instagram?
It's Clubhouse.
Instagram. Clubhouse, that's it. I don't even know how to explain it.
It's an audio.
I'll just take a
sit. You have to be invited. Okay. It's a very,
but it's specific.
Well, I think, you know what, my perception of PR today is storytelling.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Like, I feel like that story is just so intertwined in no matter what the medium is, right?
Absolutely.
Like, they have to figure out, the PR person has to figure out what kind of story are you going to tell to reach that audience, you know, what's the hook? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's very different from how we visualized or actually did PR, you know, back in the day. It's much more content.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was just going to say that, to your point, it's about how you tell it as well. Mm-hmm. It's just not what you're telling,
authentic.
It's about how you're telling.
Yeah.
So going back to TikTok, what you're consuming on TikTok is way different than what you're consuming on Instagram or on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Or anything else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's surprisingly data-driven as well, because consumers are skeptical these days. They want data. They want specifics. They want to know exactly how this is going to impact them, whatever this is. But
I mean, the client
correct.
Really wants to know, what's the ROI?
How many views?
Exactly.
How many views?
Yes.
Yeah. How many views?
That's, well, and
that's
in,
exactly
in my
right.
world, in our agency, it's, you know, conversion.
Yeah, exactly.
How many units did you sell?
Mm-hmm.
They don't even care about the clicks anymore.
Yep. And mine's perception. What is the perception of our
right.
company? So we want to make people perceive or showcase that the company is successful through that data, but it's more of that know, like, and trust factor, and having people have a favorable opinion of your company. And it's always historically been a struggle. I'm sure you guys can relate as far as, you know, proving the ROI on PR, because, you know, it's important. And if you're not putting money into it and something were to happen, to have that favorable opinion of the public is important. But if you haven't been putting the time and energy into it, it could be detrimental.
Right.
So it's one of those things that it's not needed until it's needed, necessary until it's needed.
Well, they're calling you when they're really in trouble.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Probably more so a smaller business and, you know, a medium or large size corporation, which they kind of know they need to do that stuff, and they can't take their foot off the brake.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's, it's become more strategic in my business in particular, because the lines have been blurred so much. Mm-hmm. So I have to extract the story, figure out what the most important piece is to highlight or promote, and then figure out the best way to reach the specific audience in that way. But strategizing, it has become extremely important, and collaborating. So finding someone that can do, advertising or, finding people that can support the weaknesses, but yet support the overall strategy that's going forward.
Yeah. That's smart. So what do you do, a small business calls you when they're in trouble, you know, like, what's your first step? Like, what's your approach with them? Because I would imagine the first thing they ask you is, what do you charge? Or do they ask you, how do you do it? Like, what is the mindset of a small business? I'm sure you've probably seen quite a few of them now with COVID, right? Mm-hmm. Where they're trying to come out of this, and now they realize they should have been doing something, all along. So how do you approach that with them?
For me, it's all about personalization. I don't talk about any kind of money until I know the full scope of the situation, and also what they are looking for. If it is PR and marketing, PR, social media, media relations, community relations. Mm-hmm. There's so many different facets of how I can do business. Mm-hmm. So it's better for me to get a better understanding of what's your goal? What's the ultimate outcome that you're looking for?
Okay.
And then from there, I can deconstruct it backwards. But obviously, money is a factor. It's always been, and especially with small businesses, I'm not naive to think that there's plenty of money to spend on PR. However, I think it's necessary. I think it's helpful. And I do absolutely everything in my power to, when I present a proposal or an idea to a small business, I try to chunk it. So it's, here's my PR services. Here's my marketing services. Here's social. You can mix and match, or we can try just PR this month, then transition into social. you know, try to
maybe break it down into phases. Mm-hmm. Like I always think phases because they don't necessarily understand it.
Yes.
Because they think they use the terminology social media.
Yeah.
And, you know, in our world, we know basically for us, that means organic.
Yes.
You know, and then there's all these other different layers.
Yes.
Usually have higher price tags.
Yep.
To them and greater reach.
Yes.
So then you're trying to explain reach.
Yep.
Versus frequency and, you know, all this, you know, stuff. And then getting into the ROI, like, you know, do you have Google Analytics?
Yes. Yes.
Do you have a pixel on that app? Yes. You know?
Exactly.
And they're looking at you like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, because in their mind, they're thinking, well, if you just post something for me,
right. Yeah.
The money will come.
The money will come, and you're gonna solve all their problems.
And social media is such a blanket term as well.
It really is. My gosh.
Right. But for a small business owner, I mean, they're busy running their business. Like, can you imagine your parents?
Yeah.
Years ago, like thinking that they had to make sure they had Google My Business
right,
and they
exactly.
had SEO and they had the Facebook page. But like they're looking at you like, are you kidding?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's ongoing. It's not something that
you don't just put it up and then you're done.
You need it.
But that's also for media placements or marketing. I mean, everything has gone so quickly now that it has to be a continuous stream or a continuous reminder. I mean, I read something at one point that people have to see something upwards of like 16 times before they
easily.
Actually make a purchasing decision. So you have to be ever present in order to be top of mind when that need arises, because some businesses are a nice to have, not a need to have. But, you know, if you've decided that you're going to spend the money in that arena, that you have to be top of mind. So, again, it's social media for me. It's always been a passion. I mm-hmm. developed the social media department at my previous job. I've loved it from the get-go. I don't know why I've always been drawn to it. But you want to talk about the leap from corporate to my own business.
Yeah.
I had a team of people that could help me at corporate. Now here I am, this one-man show, trying to figure it all out on my own.
Well, but you're smart to collaborate with some good team.
Exactly. Yeah. Since then, I've realized the importance of hiring for your weaknesses.
you have to, because and this business has gotten so complicated.
Yes, exactly.
And there's lots of different layers to it. So
and it moves fast.
Yes, it does. It does. So. Chris, do you have any words of wisdom for Nora?
Well, I'm always curious, and I don't know if you can answer this, but can you talk about maybe an incident, some PR crazy incident? I saw that you worked in like christening ships and things like that, overseeing those events. Like, can you talk about some sort of mishap?
Without mentioning the company. We don't want to get you in any trouble.
You know, where you had to spin something crazy. Mm.
I've actually, truth be told, I've been quite fortunate that I've never had something catastrophic happen. I've had certain things, like at a hotel, there was a, you know, an outbreak of some kind of bacteria in the hot tub.
Oh,
and
Lord.
but it was in a small town hotel, and that was a big deal.
Front page.
Managing that from a perspective of collecting health, you know, documents and being transparent. I'm a full believer in being as transparent as possible when things like that arise. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that, especially nowadays, the public can see through a lot of things that are cover-ups or dodging questions or
they can just tweet you.
Yes, right.
So you're
exactly.
like, whoa.
Yes.
You know, we got to respond to that.
Yes, exactly.
It's not like, oh, we just can't answer the phone right now.
And it can also.
They're going to come after you.
Yes.
Review you. I mean, that's the other thing.
Yes.
How do you
and in
combat
the hotel
like,
industry, that's a big thing.
Yes.
And that, for me, has always been you acknowledge, you appreciate the feedback, you offer direct lines for communication, and just make sure that you're addressing it. I have always instructed the hotels, because online reviews did fall under my umbrella at the company. So online reviews are truly public relations for your hotel. So people are going to go
and
to TripAdvisor. Exactly.
People
are going to go to TripAdvisor before they go anywhere else to find. So people don't care about what you say about mm-hmm. your business. They care about what other people say about yeah. your business. So,
so true.
If people are writing reviews and they're negative, then you need to be publicly addressing that. Mm-hmm. And even it doesn't have to, you don't have to get into an argument with someone. You don't have to.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, no. God, don't do no. that.
Customer is always right.
Yeah. Right. I mean, but take it offline and show yeah. compassion and show understanding and make sure that you are addressing it in some way, shape, or form, and then bringing it back to, I'm providing you all the information you need to talk to me, and let's discuss this in private. The other, going back to your question about PR challenges, and one that came to my mind when you mentioned the cruise ship, I was working a first time cruise.
Boy, a maiden.
Right. And it was, but it was a paddle boat. So it was
okay. like a river
on the American rivers.
And okay.
So it was the first cruise, mm-hmm. and I had my manager at that point. I was working for a PR agency at that point. So my manager was unable to go last minute. So at that point, I was somewhat of a junior executive, mm-hmm. and they sent me on this ship with 16 media and like national media.
Feeder to the lions.
Oh my gosh. So from the perspective of maybe not the audience mm-hmm. being upset or mm-hmm. finding something wrong, but these specific members of the media were mm-hmm. kind of lions. Prima donnas. It was kind of high yeah. maintenance. And yeah. this was the first voyage on this cruise line. And so there were, you know, yeah. there's going to be things that,
hiccups.
That get it.
Yeah.
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 So one of them had a meltdown, and that was definitely a situation where I was like, I'm not equipped for this.
Yeah.
I can't do this. This is like, I don't know how to manage this. So I'm, you know, in the bathroom calling my boss going, what do I do? I don't know. I don't know how to talk to this woman. I don't know how to walk her off a ledge. Oh, so luckily he did. So he put mm-hmm. we put her on the phone and mm-hmm. sorted that out. But again, it's one of those things that was early in my career, and I've learned things yeah. as I go. But again, it's just hearing people out. A lot of times people yeah. just want to be heard in,
so true.
In whatever capacity it is, whether it's on a large public platform or in the bathroom right. on a cruise yeah. ship.
you That's know, so like, true.
It's hysterical.
So, yeah. yeah.
What's one big piece of advice that you would want to give small businesses right now in regards to, you know, their own PR, mm-hmm. like a takeaway?
I would definitely recommend being your own advocate. I believe that a lot of small business owners become overwhelmed with the day-to-day and the in and out and don't really pay attention to their successes or things that are attractive to their consumers or their clients. And I actually was just having this conversation with my friend who's a photographer earlier this morning, and she was saying that people were asking her, she does an online course, and mm-hmm. people were asking her, do you even photograph anymore? Are you even in action?
Yeah.
And for me, that was a perfect opportunity for her to recognize that she should be doing more posts to put herself in the role of the person of authority and showcasing what you're good at
right.
and how you are better than your competitors and telling your story, finding your story,
yeah.
pay attention to what your ideal customer is looking for, and then make sure that you are sharing that story with yeah. those people.
It's hard to, that is hard to do for an entrepreneur.
Yes.
It doesn't come easy for everybody.
I mean, no. myself. And then this is the business I'm in. It's yeah. hard for me. It's so easy for me to look at somebody's business and say, okay, we got
to
do this,
this, and this. This, right.
But then I'm looking at myself going, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, like, are you practicing what you're preaching?
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I think we used to call it the shoemaker. The shoemaker's kids with no
the
shoes.
Yeah, the cobbler's children have no shoes.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
Have you ever heard that one?
Yeah. I have, and I love these idioms, by the way. Yeah. I love how they're creeping back at.
Awesome.
It is. But definitely be your own advocate and research your audience and determine where they are, and then go find them there and tell them your story, whether it's next door, whether the know, the app Nextdoor, that's a big one these days.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Whether it's, you know, online reviews, whether it's social media, whether it's reaching out to local media, make sure that you are telling your story and not just allowing other people to tell it for you, because they will if you don't say it. So
that's true. Last question for you.
Okay.
What was the best piece of advice you were given?
Honestly, I know I said it before, but hire for your weaknesses. At least in business, that is certainly, because as a new entrepreneur, not really thinking I knew what I was doing, and going out and saying, I can handle this. I'm she-woman. I can do this. And then drowning in it going, I'm working 15-hour days, and I'm not accomplishing what I want, and I'm not reaching the goals I had set for myself. And then realizing that it's good to collaborate or find people that can support you, and community is everything. So whether it's people that you're working with on a paid basis or just people that you're surrounding yourself in your in your life, I mean, that for sure is wildly important to your success,
your growth too.
And your growth.
Yeah. Awesome. Nora, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
This was so much fun.
Yeah, it really was. It was awesome.
Come back and see us.
Oh, anytime. Absolutely.
Okay. Gotta bring the kids, though.
Oh, God. No.
That's it for this week's episode. Show us some love on social media at Wisdom and Extra. You can find behind-the-scenes sneak peeks, upcoming episodes, and links to all of our guests. Be sure to subscribe, leave us your comments, and stay extra. That's it for this week's episode. Show us some love on social media at Wisdom and Extra. You can find behind-the-scenes sneak peeks, upcoming episodes, and links to all of our guests. Be sure to subscribe, leave us your comments, and stay extra.